I give Tulane credit. You know, I give them credit. I mean, they made a lot of plays. You know, they threw and caught the ball well. The two interceptions we threw were phenomenal plays on the ball. So I give them a lot of credit.
That is head coach Lincoln Riley of the Oklahoma Sooners, joined now by Tulane head football coach Willie Fritz. Coach, how are you this afternoon, sir?
Doing all right. Just got back from practice. We were practicing over at Legion Field here in Birmingham, Alabama. And it's about maybe a 10, 15-minute drive from our hotel, and just got back a few moments ago. So getting ready to watch some practice tape and, you know, moving on to Morgan State.
Right. Try to be as normal as possible in a situation that is not, right, Coach? I'm coming to you from Atlanta, base camp Atlanta, staying at my sister-in-law's.
There we go.
You guys have been relocated as well. So we just spoke to Tim Rebo. He's in Memphis. We had Billy Napier on earlier. They dealt with it last year. So it's kind of one of those circumstances. You try to go about it as best you can, but it is different circumstances. What was it like leading up to the game this past weekend?
Well, you know, our president, Mike Fitz, has done an excellent job with a great job battling through COVID with the whole campus, and now with the hurricane. Our athletic director, Troy Dannon, we've got a plan in place. We've practiced the plan for, you know, 5 years I've been here. Unfortunately, we had to actually execute the plan,
right,
you know, here this year, but we took off. We had a scrimmage on Saturday morning, and then we left that evening, drove here to Birmingham. We told the guys, hey, we're moving over to the Sheraton Hotel here in Birmingham. I think we took 30-some-odd pets. We had some family members. We had all the players, student managers, support staff. We're in operation. It was all said and done. Probably about 170 people we moved over this way, maybe even a little
wow.
bit more than that. And you know, the biggest, issue for us was when we got over here and there's no cell service in New Orleans, and, you know, people couldn't get a hold of their loved ones and wasn't quite sure what was going on. And that lasted for a couple of days where they
right.
weren't able to get a hold of parents or, you know, brothers, sisters, friends. Everybody knows people in NOLA, you know, that made the trip over here. And then we got good news. There wasn't, you know, at least in our party, you know, we've had some houses that were destroyed with coaches and some of the players, but, you know, nothing that can't be replaced. And, you know, and then we'll just see how long we're going to be here. We have no idea. May be here, another week, maybe a couple weeks, 3 weeks. I don't know. They'll tell me, and when that time comes, we'll head on back to Uptown and Tulane campus.
Speak with head coach Willie Fritz. It's incredible, you know, listening to head coach Sean Payton earlier this week, same thing, that they're displaced. They have a couple of folks as well, about 130 people with parties as well, families, kind of a similar situation. How difficult is it to sort of lock in and focus like that? Because I think, Coach, one of the reasons I'm bringing it up, it was a national storyline, the way you guys took to the field and played. And I know a lot of times we might use the word in media, distraction, things and things of that nature, but we know in our part, that's not distraction. You're concerned about family members. You're concerned about your property. It can absolutely take over your mind. But the performance your team had, I know you wanted to win. Come up a little short, and I'm sure we can get into it when you look at tape, some things that you could have done better. But, Coach, the effort that your team gave, it had a lot of people nationally talking about it. You have to be proud.
Well, I am proud of our guys, the effort, the toughness that they displayed. And, you know, we're a high academic school in an unbelievable city, but we're a blue-collar program. We don't have everything everybody else has got, and we don't want everything everybody else has got. We want to work hard and you know, deal with the players and the coaches and, you know, and all those kind of things. And they were excited about the opportunity to go out and compete. It kind of, you know, brought things back to, you know, a little bit of normalcy, and that was good. But I was proud of the guys. You know, we had a little spurt there in the second quarter where we, mm-hmm. you know, made some mistakes. And when you're playing the, you know, whatever Oklahoma is or was, the second, third, fourth ranked team in the country, you just can't have those hiccups. And, we hadn't had those. I think we could have done even better. But proud of the guys without question. You know, we got a good group of young men. when we recruit, I told my coaches yesterday, I said, you know, this is why you recruit young men of character. You know, we talk about recruiting bona fide Division I student athletes with character.
And, sure.
You know, when times are tough, you know, the character comes to the forefront. And, you know, another thing I always say to them is, hey, guys, you know, find guys that have had a good 18 years. They've had a bad 18 years. We're going to have a hard time turning them around. There are going to be all sorts of problems. You know, you watch these games on TV all the time. You know, people acting the fool and all those kind of different things. And, you know, we've had a ton of guys in our program who've had just an outstanding 18 years. And we're able to, you know, shine them up a little bit from 18 to 22 years of age. You know, and it's fun to have adult conversations with guys and every day when you see them and things like that. So proud of the guys, but I think it's indicative of the type of student athlete we've been recruiting.
I just jotted that down, Head Coach Willie Fritz, and my four-year-old's going to be hearing that a lot. Find guys who have had a good 18 years. I love that. It's such a very true statement, though, when you think about it, to kind of know the kind of people you got coming in you. You look at the game, and, Coach, you mentioned your coaches. You had two new coordinators calling plays. Now, they had some experience, though, right? So how difficult was sort of that for everybody? Because it sort of seemed like y'all on a better page than maybe perhaps other teams that have that to go. How difficult is it going into a game for the first time action with new coordinators at offense and defense?
Well, you know, Chip has called a lot of plays, you know, in Notre
right.
Dame, Memphis, very experienced, but he's with a new group of people doing it. And, you know, Chris Hampton, same thing, you know, he hasn't actually called it. He's got a lot of experience, but first time he's done it with this group of people. And we really worked hard on that during camp, and luckily before all this broke, we got quite a few quality sessions with headphones and sideline, you know, to press box communication and
sure.
You know, what we're looking at, watching film, putting yourself in those situations. You know, and I mean, you know, my experience, yeah, I was, you know, when I was a head coach at Duco, I kind of did everything, and every year I'd have two new graduate assistants. That would be my only assistants on defense and kicking game, and I'd have to really teach them how to watch the game, the information that I wanted, all those different things. And we kind of got back to that a little bit. You know, you don't want to have the first time that you do a dry run through, and, you know, there at Owen Field at Oklahoma. You know, you want to have done it a bunch of times. So we right. did it last spring. We worked on it during the summer. We worked on it during camp. So it was about as smooth as the first game could get for two new coordinators working with a bunch of different guys.
Coach, when I take a look at the box score, I know one of the things that stands out is Michael Pratt. I know his toughness. He showed some big-time plays there, but you never want him to be your leading rusher as well, right?
Well, sometimes he will, depending on what they give you. You know, and they were
right.
doing the quarterback run, and he was pulling and taking it. But, you know, he just showed a whole lot of grit and toughness you know, that's the blue-collar part of our program. And, you know, I tell our guys all the time, everybody's got a tackle on the team and everybody's got a block. And that includes the quarterback, mm-hmm. that includes the punter, includes the kicker. Everybody's got to do all those different things. And Michael's one of those guys who can do all those things.
Coach, one of the things, obviously, that last year you wanted to see some plays being made in the secondary and getting off on third downs. And those are two things that I thought you didn't do too bad of. You know, it's not like Oklahoma converted a ton of third downs. That had to make you, I think, be happy a little bit. And also the fact that you get two interceptions out of your secondary. That had to make you feel good.
Much better job on third and fourth down. You know, we right. had a snafu on one of the fourth downs where a guy went to the wrong gap and he stays in his gap. We're going to stop him on that one, too. But had a big stop near midfield when they went for it on fourth and one. Did a good job on third downs. I think they were 3 of 13,
3
of 12.
Like
that.
Yeah. Yep, 3-12,
something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought we did a good job. We had to. We were very poor in that area last year. It was, you know, I think we were 127th out of 113th. That's not very good. So we got much, much better in that area, worked it a bunch, did a lot of situational work. Everybody does situational work, but we mm-hmm. we took it to the, you know, to the extreme during camp and and made sure that we got a lot of third down type situations, different parts of the field. We put a graph and a chart together to really scrutinize it so that there wouldn't be a situation that we haven't gone over on numerous occasions. And that's tough to do because there's an infinite amount of situations that occur in a game. And we just wanted to work on them. And the big one was third down and then also getting in that red zone and, you know, having touchdowns instead of kicking field goals. You know, we call those four-point plays when you get down there when the defense holds them to a field goal. It's right. 4 points for the good guys. And when we score a touchdown instead of a field goal, that's 4 points for the good guys. So we worked on a lot of situations during spring ball and talked an awful lot about it during the summer as a staff and then really worked on them during preseason camp too.
Coach, I know you want sacks, and fans love sacks and quarterback hurries and pressure. It's hard, I think, harder that now that offense is, man, the second it gets into quarterback hands, it's out. They're in shotgun. But getting six tackles for losses, how important is that as well? Because when I see that stat, that means you're on the other side of the line of scrimmage, right?
Yeah, we got a good defensive line. I think Jeffrey Johnson's playing at a really high level. You know, people watch his play, watch number 77 in there. He's a you know, he's lost almost 50 pounds. He was, 345. He's down to 295. He was a good player at 345. But he is, his movement laterally and his penetration ability is really, he's doing an outstanding job. He, you know, he keeps going like this. I think he's going to have a chance to continue to keep playing after he gets done here at Tulane. He's really playing well. But, you know, they had a great offensive line. You know, that was the big area we were worried about. They had to cover them for an extended period of time because, you know, they do a good job of pass protection, you know, and they got a long developing route place. And when you, you know, the longer that guy holds it, the more opportunity for people to get open. But we did have some good minus plays as well where we got some penetration and some tackles in the backfield.
Final thing for you, Coach. Morgan State, a home game, but as you mentioned, you're still up in Birmingham. The next time you have a home game will be UAB on the 25th. I'm hoping and I'm sure we will see you back at Uptown New Orleans, Ole Miss sandwiched in between. Something you want to see from your team coming up this Saturday at noon against Morgan State?
Oh, I want to see us, you know, make fewer mistakes. You know, and you got 11 guys out there. You know, there's all sorts of different things that they can run and do against you. You know, it's you got to really do a great job of thinking on the fly. We go at a pretty good tempo. You know, just minimize our mistakes. You know, we played hard, we played physical, played tough, but we need to limit those mistakes. And, you know, I tell guys this every year, man, you should make your biggest improvement from week one to week two. It's no longer new for those guys running on and off the field, you know, substituting, and, you know, who's on the punt team, who's on the kickoff team, all that kind of stuff. They've been through a, you know, even though we do dress rehearsal a bunch, you know, it's different when you get into a ball game. So they've been through that. You know, I want to see that organizational type improvement this week.
Head Coach Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave up in Birmingham, Alabama. Follow the team at Green Wave FB over on Twitter and, of course, online, TulaneGreenWave.com. Coach, as always, a pleasure, man. We'll be chatting on Tuesdays. Good luck to you, and we'll see you soon back in Uptown New Orleans.
Thank you, Gus. Roll Wave.